Peace, love, and light to the family. What's going on? It's the Prince Richie Moon, and this is the Richie Moon Show. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do appreciate that. It's Wednesday. You know what that means. Who's ready for story time with Richie Moon? So, last night, very recently, I had my first official therapy session. Well, it's not exactly true. Let me give some context to this. Oh man, we starting up hot, coming in hot. So when I was 12, my mother made her transition. And around 13, somewhere between 12 and 13, I had went to therapy because, you know, my family didn't really talk about it. And that made me feel a certain way. This is what I was discussing last night with my therapist. And she said to me, she was like, you know, you were a healer before you even knew you were a healer. And I said, you know, my grandparents didn't really want to talk about it. My sister didn't really want to talk about it. And I didn't really have anybody else to talk about it. And during that time, I felt like, you know, maybe I had more of a selfish outlook on it. But that's because I didn't put myself in their perspective. It's, you know, think about it. How hard is it as a parent, for all my parents out there that are listening to this, how hard is it to bury your child? You know, you don't want to talk about that. You know, as my older sister, you know, you don't want to talk about your mom, you know, not being here anymore, regardless of the relationship that y'all had. Still hurts. It's still painful. So as I grew wiser and as I matured, I was like, oh, that's why they didn't want to talk about that. But during that time, I didn't, you know, being 12, 13, I didn't understand that. I couldn't wrap my head around that. So I needed to get it out. I needed an outlet, you know. So I went to therapy. And I remember, like, let me paint you this visual, right? So I'm 13 years old, like 13 years old kid, super baggy clothes, red bandana out the pocket, red bandana tin, like super sued up. And I'm talking to this white woman whose name is Karen. Ironically, my mom's name is Karen. And I'm talking to her about like my life and stuff like that. And I just remember even then feeling this such a disconnect. Like, you're putting me in this room talking to this woman, and I'm supposed to just open up about my life. And like, I was actually comfortable doing it, but like, I was also like having kind of like an outer body experience with it, because I remember like thinking during the conversation, like, who is this woman? Like, I'm just opening up to her and telling her, you know, about how my mom died and how I feel, and that's supposed to just make me feel better. This woman doesn't know me from a can of paint. This woman wouldn't be even talking to me if she wasn't getting paid. You know what I'm saying? I understand it's an energy exchange, but it's just like, she doesn't know me. She didn't know me before this. The only context she has is, you know, I'm some black kid who lost his mom, who doesn't have his dad in his life. And even if that wasn't her perspective, you know what I'm saying? Let me not even put that on her, but it's just like, she doesn't know me. Not saying that she doesn't care, not saying she's not a caring person, none of that, but it's just like, she doesn't know me. This is her job. So I say all that to say that was always my thought with therapy. And I know people are genuine and they want to help people, and they want to, you know, help people. They want to help people with solutions to their issues and provide them keys to unlock doors in their mind so they can get through these issues. Or, you know, sometimes it's not even the issue, it's your perception, your thought of the issue, and a therapist can help you navigate those waters a lot easier. And I get that, but for me, going through that experience that I just told you about, I just always thought, I always looked at therapy like, you know, because it always came down to, even as I matured and had a greater understanding of it, and, you know, studied psychology myself, I was split in two ways. One, because knowing history or his story, and also just genuinely looking at it. Like, that's genuinely how I looked at it before, and that didn't really change too much as I matured. And then let's add the history, aspect of it. So most of the psychology is coming from Sigmund Freud. Where did that come from? Like, you have to look at the people, the mentality and the mindset they're coming from. Now, I will give them credit that, you know, they took a lot of what's in the, what they call the Egyptian Book of the Dead, which is really the comedic day coming forth. What is the proper name for it? Coming forth to the light. Oh, that's horrible. I don't remember the name of it. I can actually look it up while I'm doing this podcast. But they call it the comedic Book of the Dead. They only call it the Egyptian Book of the Dead because, you know, they found it amongst the dead. But it took a lot of psychology from there. But that's also, and they coupled that with this warped American Roman mentality. You know what I'm saying? And what I mean by that is, you know, you got to look at it. During this time, 1900, you know, early 1900s, you know, two white men. They're products of their environment. They're products of their society. I don't think I need to overemphasize what the mentality was. And even if they did have a more of a balanced mind state, that is just, it's epigenetics. It's in your subconscious. You know what I'm saying? So I say a lot to say that people, yes, they have a genuine want and need to help people, but a lot of their opinions, a lot of their talking points, a lot of their baseline are coming from white men who did not have people's best interests who look like me in heart. So yeah, you know, you may have a good intention, but the car that you're driving in, the destination that you're taking there is, you know, it just, you know, I want a holistic perspective. You know, I want an African-centered based therapy session. That's what I want. That's where I want. If I'm going to open up the chambers of my heart and my mind to somebody, I need them to come from that. And I also need to know them, because it's also, you know, these therapists and it's like, who are these people? You know, I mean, nobody really knows. You know people to an extent, because people who are their true selves when they're alone. But it's just like, I felt way more comfortable, way more relaxed, and much more open to being vulnerable, talking to this woman that I know, that I spent time with, that's cooked for me, that I know a lot of her story and what she's been through. She's been through death experience and a divorce, and she was somebody that she didn't like, and then she transformed her life, and she went through that, and we went through a lot of the same experiences. So I feel more comfortable opening up to her because I know her story. I know where she come from. I know a lot of her trials and tribulations. You know what I'm saying? And she's been through her death scene, as opposed to just literally talking to, even if the person looks like me. You know what I'm saying? Even if I'm going to a therapist talking to a melanated man or a melanated woman, I don't know them. They're just Dr. This. They're just Dr. Stacy, Dr. Wade, you know, whatever. And I'm just supposed to open up my heart chambers and my deepest, darkest, not even darkest, but just the way I feel, and really, you know, it unveiling my heart space and my innermost intimate thoughts to a person I don't know. I don't know this person. And they wouldn't do this if I didn't pay them. Now, like I said, there's an energy exchange. Yes, there is an energy exchange that I have with my therapist, you know what I'm saying? But she's not doing this because I gave her money. You know what I'm saying? And she recognized in me that I needed this. Because not that I was against it, but a lot of my therapy really comes from this podcast. It comes from poetry. It comes from painting. It comes from drawing. It comes from exercising. It comes from meditation. It comes from intentionally breathing. It comes from grounding. So, not to say that I didn't need therapy, but I am very much aware of my childhood traumas, how that's affected me, and how in my adult life, how sometimes the little boy in me still shows up, because there are still parts of me that the little boy comes out because, you know, there are still parts of me that are not quote unquote healed. Like I said, there are still parts of me that, instead of approaching it like, you know, the Richie Moon that you have come to love and see and all that, I don't approach it from that. I approach it from the little boy named Richard. You know, Richard has died. That's why I'm very adamant, you know, around people to call me Richard. I was like, don't call me that. Richard has died. Richard died last year. You know what I'm saying? Richie Moon is in full control, immersed, living, spirit, metaphorically, physically, metaphysically. Richie Moon encases this flesh suit that I'm wearing now. Richard doesn't. Richard died. And, you know, there might come a time where Richie Moon dies. You know, maybe not in name, but Richard died in name. You know what I'm saying? All the energy that carries with that. And, you know, I say all that to, I ain't gonna hold you. I forgot exactly why I went into that tangent about the power of the name. But, yes, that's because, okay, I remember. You know, talking about my childhood hurt and where the pain of that comes from, you know what I'm saying? And how that shows up. That can show up in romantic relationships. That can show up with people that you're dealing with. And it's very interesting. Over the last year and a half or so, I have met two women who have greatly, you know, profoundly had a, you know, a red pill effect on how I approach women and how I see women, because they were that powerful and they were the type of woman that I would like to have in my life. And I manifested that, you know, and they brought out, when I'm around women, I naturally get into the protective vibe, you know what I'm saying? But these two particular women, they brought out this very powerful masculine and feminine energy in me. And I've always, one of my superpowers have always been the way that I've been able to walk the masculine and feminine energy and be able to yield those powers. But those particular women brought out this, I feel like they magnetized my masculinity, and they helped evolve my manosphere, because being around them, they naturally drew this energy of this protector and provider energy. And it was there before, but I think to put it in proper context, it was like I trained with them and then I turned into a Super Saiyan with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like I like the Super Saiyan masculine energy of the provider, the protector, but also being able to be vulnerable, you know what I'm saying, and be able to balance that power. Because I, for me, in my opinion, in my experience, yes, being masculine energy is being the protector, being the provider, but it's also being, you know, being the provider, being the protector, being a leader, but it's also knowing when to delegate that power. It's like, all right, love, you got this. You know what I'm saying? You're more experienced in this. You can better handle this situation than I can. So for me, that is just as important as being the leader, being the protector, being the provider, is knowing when to step back and also being vulnerable. You know, I did a whole podcast, shout out to my auntie Nikki, about how being vulnerable is powerful. I think being vulnerable is just as powerful as being powerful in that, and you know what I'm saying, and being a masculine man, you know? So I say all that to say is that, you know, these women naturally brought that out in me. And even before I could verbalize it in that way, I was always very aware of that from a young age. That, you know, I lose my mother at a young age, that I might look for motherly energy in woman. And like I said, even before I could contextualize that, before I could verbalize that, before I even had that thought in my mind, you know, I knew that already. You know, my therapist and shout out to Professor James Small. He said that you get initiated before you're initiated, and that was a part of my initiation, is recognizing that since I lost my mother at a young age, that I would go out subconsciously looking for that energy in other women. So I knew that. So I was very careful with that energy and the way that I dealt with women. And some women naturally brought that out, and some women didn't. And I, at a very young age, I recognized that. So as I matured and I was able to verbalize that and put it in its proper context, I was very much able to lay, okay, this woman, you know, some women have a lot of sexual energy and some women have a lot of feminine energy. And it's like a Venn diagram. They both, you know, they're one and the same, but they also have differences. And that middle in between, that vesicle Pisces, honestly, which is like a yoni, that's big, you know, because like I said, some women have a lot of feminine energy, but they don't have that. They have a lot of sexual and feminine energy, but they don't have the nurturing energy. And that could be due to the way they were raised or whatever. So I can't even open up that part of myself to them. And I'm very aware of that. I understand that some women are just, you know, we're just going to have sex and that's going to be it. And even if, you know, in my younger age when I was dating just for the kind of sake to be dating, I even knew, okay, I can open up to her about certain things. I can be vulnerable with her about certain things because, once again, she has a lot of feminine energy and a lot of sexual energy, but she doesn't have the nurturing energy. Now, I want to also add on top of that, I was listening to an episode that I did called Accountability. And shout out to Supernova Slum, shout out to Red Pill, shout out to Black Magic 363. They had an incredible, an elite level, worth listening to, going out your way and listening to, taking notes, rewatching, talking about the manosphere and Supernova Slum. Oh my goodness, goodness gracious. The brother was channeling last night and speaking about, taking the full accountability as a man. And I say all that to say, you know, I did an episode talking about accountability and a young lady that I dealt with. And this is not to let women off the hook, because I'm not letting women off the hook. But me as a man, I'm going to take, instead of not letting them off the hook, I'm just going to fully look at what I did and a part that I played and take accountability for what I did. I can't take accountability for her actions. I know where my heart is at. I know where my soul is at. I know where my intentions are at. I know what I meant when I said this and when I did this. I know that I wasn't moving from a manipulating space. So I'm going to take a look at me. I'm going to take a look at the me. Even though we are all reflections of each other from a different perspectives, I'm going to move that to the side and put the mirror right up to me. And what can I learn from this? And what part did I play in my own suffering? You know what I'm saying? And taking a full accountability and stepping my manosphere up and to paraphrase my good brother, you know what I'm saying? And not even in the intention, in the hopes of, oh, her wanting me. And when I say her, I don't mean this specific young lady. I just mean any woman, you know, her wanting me. But I'm going to be more powerful metaphorically, metaphysically, and physically. You know, my chest is going to pop out more. My abs is going to be look like even bigger, smaller mountains on my stomach. My biceps are going to pop out even more. My veins are going to be protruding from my arms even more. My calves are going to be even greater. I'm going to be more alkaline. I'm going to even be more well-studied. My financial is going to be in a great place. My spirituality is going to be in a great place. My masculine and feminine energy is going to be balanced. I'm going to be living a more ma'at place. I'm going to be glorious and blissed and endowed with these energies and spirits and awaken that true God in me. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be better by taking full accountability for my actions. And then that also bleeds over into every single aspect of my life. Which brings me to my next point of this contract that I signed. Shout out to Red Pill and Blue Pill and Black Magic for this episode they had called The Metaphysical Mamba Mentality. You know, rest in power to Nip and Kobe Bryant, you know what I'm saying, who had the Mamba mentality. And that is, you know, just being the hardest worker in the room, just going hard for it. You know, all right, supposed to do 100 shots? All right, I'm going to do 350. Consistently putting your best foot forward. And I'm in this situation where I'm in this very much, I have a life-changing opportunity that is at the forefront. And talking to my therapist last night, you know, I was very much in this space where I was like, well, I'm going to put the Richie Moon show to the side and all this stuff to the side. I'm going to put all this stuff to the side to get to the bag. You know, I'm going to willingly open myself up and go into the matrix, you know, because I know that I'm powerful enough and I have enough knowledge to recognize, you know, I've been in Zion, I've been in the matrix, so I know that I have the will of fire. I have the long-term booking, the long-term storytelling to go into a plan B to literally and, you know, metaphorically fund plan A. Plan A is always, it's always plan A. You know what I'm saying? There really is no plan B in actuality, but there is a temporary plan B to go right back to plan A. And I say all that to say, you know, I was just going to leave the Richie Moon show. You know, of course I was going to give some context and be like, you know, I'll be back in this certain amount of time and boom, 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 boom. But she was like, you know, you put energy into this. You birthed this child. And imagine creating a child and it not, you know, being a deadbeat. So I'm definitely now in the process of recording things for the future because I may be in a space where I may not be able to record. But I'm also in a space, which brings me to my next point, is I'm definitely up for taking people's advice. You know what I'm saying? Going to therapy, my friends who I admire and who I respect, I definitely take their opinions and I add into mine. But I also feel like a part of being grounded and, you know, part of having my feet firmly planted on the ground and also having my head up in the clouds, having that balance, is also to listen to other people's opinions and to take what's best from that, but to also be grounded enough in your own decisions to know, like, I respect your opinion, I respect your perspective, but this is what I'm going to do. And this is the decision that I've made, and I'm standing 10 toes firm, planted like a motherfucking tree with this decision that I made. Because it is okay to live a life that people do not understand, and it is not your job, your responsibility, to make them understand. Because when the results come from the work that you've put in, from the decision that you've made, then they will understand. You know what I'm talking about? It's just like that. You know what I'm saying? They'll understand then. And to me, that's also goes with evolving my manosphere, is just, you know, taking the opinions of my loved ones and, like I said, those that I love and that I respect, but also being grounded enough to say, I respect your opinion, I'm taking that into consideration, I'm going to formulate that into my plan, but this is also the decision that I made and I'm standing on that. And it is what it is. There's some quotes that I think are very relevant to this that I would like to read off. But before I get into that, thank you for tapping into the Richie Moon Show. Like I said, you could have been anywhere else in the world and you're here with me. I do appreciate that. Before we get into these five quotes, we are going to take a short commercial break and we will be right back. And we are back. And those five quotes that I wanted to get into definitely, you know, pertain to this and, you know, add context to this. The people who are meant to be in your life are the ones who know how to gently wait for you to heal. And that's not to say, you know, you just take people's shit, but, you know, What's for you won't miss you. If someone tells you to be realistic, remember that their reality is not the same as yours. We define realistic based on our own perceptions. And that goes back to, yo, like, even with my therapist, and I trust her, I love her, I know spirit guides her and tells her things, and I listen and I take heed. But there are some decisions that I am 10 toes down about. And I have no problem if things don't work out with my decision to say, you were right. But I'm also, you know, my head is enough in the clouds and my feet are based in the ground to move forward with my decisions and being okay with my right decisions and my wrong decisions. Allow people to be who they truly are and let them show up the way they naturally do. And to paraphrase that, to add parentheses to that, please stop romanticizing people and accept them for exactly who they are and who they're not. And that's a lesson that I had to learn the very, very bitter truth of, about accepting people for who they are and how they will show up for me, how they will show up for me and how they won't show up for me. Because I have a very big heart, I have a very sensitive heart. And, you know, expectations lead to disappointment. So for me to expect somebody to show up for me how I will show up for them, I'm just disappointing myself, you know? And, you know, you just got to let people be who they naturally are, and that's okay. And then from there, it's your decision to decide whether you are going to deal with it or you're not going to do it. I think Bob Marley said this when he said, you know, everybody's gonna hurt you, is just, you know, who's super duper paraphrasing, you know, everybody's gonna hurt you or disappoint you, is just who's worthy of keeping around or sticking around, who, you know, who means the most, who's, you know, who's being genuine with it, you know what I'm saying? But I don't knock anybody that goes to therapy to bring this around full circle, because we're about to land this plane. I don't knock anybody that goes to therapy. My thing with therapy is just, I legitimately don't get the concept of going to a stranger. Yes, they went to school for it. You know, they went and got their master's degree. It's a whole other conversation for another time. They went and got their master's degree, once again, from people, you know, not saying that people can't change, and not to say that, let's call it what it is, not to say that, you know, white people or people of a different race, you know, can't be genuine. But once again, where did these talking points come from? Where do the roots of this tree come from? You know what I'm saying? Because the branches could be strong, the petals could look nice, but if the roots are rotten, it's hard to imagine that tree growing. It's hard to imagine that tree growing into a red oak. It's hard to imagine that flower blossoming as beautifully as it can, because the roots are spoiled. The roots are tampered with. And coming from this entitled, elitist, white inferiority complex, Roman mentality, you know, those roots are subject to being rotten. And that's just a ice cold fact. You know what I'm saying? And when I say white inferiority, that doesn't even necessarily mean, like, because a lot of us are, you know, have been, are Oreos. Yeah, they look melanated on the outside, but, you know, their insides, they've been Americanized, you know, Americado. You know, they're not even aware of it. It's just the very, you know, bitter truth of the situation. So I say all that to say, to take this to, you know, to land this plane, is if I'm going to do therapy, if I'm going to open up the chambers of my heart and my mind and my soul and be completely vulnerable and be comfortable in this, then I need to take that passage and walk that walk with somebody that I can trust, with somebody that I can know, with somebody that come from a similar perspective and a similar lifestyle than I do. That is a holistic lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? a holistic, you know, because a holistic lifestyle is not just what you are eating. It is what you are consuming, the music, people that you're around, what you allow into your energy. You know what I'm saying? So to me, that's important. You know what I'm saying? That's extremely important. But overall, I am very happy that I made the decision to start therapy. And I'm going to gain much knowledge from it. And I want to take from it what I can and learn. And hopefully I can impart those lessons onto other people and become the best version of myself due to those conversations and, you know, really putting the mirror up to myself and addressing those things that I may not like about myself. And also addressing those things that I love about myself. You know what I'm saying? So, with that being said, you know, you could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me. I do appreciate that. If you are in therapy, feel free to reach out to me and let me know how therapy is working for you. You know, that's my perspective. That's my take on it. You know, so I'm definitely open to hearing other people's perspective and why they went that route. Maybe they didn't know that they can go this route. Maybe I opened up another portal for somebody. You know, let me know. But with that being said, I am the Prince Richie Moon. This has been the Richie Moon Show. Remember, the value that you reflect on yourself can mirror onto others. And that has been a Moon's Eye View. Peace, love, and light. I'll catch you down the road.